Meglio stasera che domani o mai. Domani chi lo sa quel che sarà. Non mi dire d'aspettare il domani che verrà. È una porta che tu chiudi. Se stasera ti decidi a rispondermi di sì, i domani che verranno li dedico solo a te. Meglio stasera che domani o mai. Domani chi lo sa quel che sarà. Nasce il giorno e il giorno muore, e la notte porterà l'incertezza del domani, chissà, chissà. Basta un desiderio solo per non farti riposare, è una pulce sul lenzuolo che dormire non ti fa. Meglio stasera domani o mai, domani chi lo sa quel che sarà, chissà quel che sarà, chissà quel che sarà.
All right, buongiorno amico paesano, hey, che fare, hey, it's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning, I'm Tom, you knew that. Hey, my buddy Massimo is back from vacation. And, you know, that's a good thing right there, because that means that there's pizza. A little bit of a dry spell. But, you know, he needed a break, I guess. He's open 2 days a week. Jeepers. Anyway, he's back. And that's good. I've had to get my quotient of Italians by watching Roberto Benigni videos. If you don't know who Roberto Benigni is, look him up. If you know who he is, you know what I'm talking about. That's good. Speaking of pizza, I don't even remember when it was. It was sometime last year. Earlier this year. My oldest son, Alex, gave me a wood-fired pizza oven, a little portable wood-fired pizza oven with a gas burner. And I'm like, I can't use a gas burner. I have to burn wood. Tom Gosi, at one time in my life, I was a licensed forester, among other things. And so I didn't want to do it in the really hot weather. I didn't want to be fighting bugs and stuff. So last weekend was perfect. There was no pizza around that I wanted to have. Massimo was gone. So I had picked up pizza dough. And set up the oven outside, gathered up wood, and I didn't put that much. I thought I was going to need more. I didn't put that much in. And fired the thing up. And now, as a kid, my mother was Italian, okay? My mother was a character. I've probably told you that before. And my brother and I kind of joke around about her accent, because she would say things like, you know, you make the dough, you got to have the east. East. And I always thought it was pronounced east, not yeast, till I was married, I think, when my dear wife alerted me to the fact my mother had an Italian accent. I go, what? I grew up with this person and never kind of clicked in my brain. It was east. Anyway, she would make her own dough and usually made good pizza. Every so often she kind of would do something, wasn't quite, but normally fantastic. So I didn't make the dough, though. I bought pre-made dough. And it was in the refrigerator all week. And I took it out and I put it on a radiant panel and I turned the heat up to get it to do its thing, because I didn't want to wait forever. So it puffed up and I got it out and did the stretching thing to the degree that I thought it was proper. You know, it's been a long time since I've seen anybody even make pizza. I mean, you go to Massimo's, it's made. I'm not watching them make the stuff. So I go ahead and put it in the oven. I checked it. You got a little thermometer to check the oven temperature. The oven was like 350, perfect temperature. And I put it in. I got the little, you know, the big pizza slidey thing, the big pan, you know, they use in pizzerias. Got one of those. So I put sauce on it and some cheese, and I put it in. And I don't know how long to cook it for. So in a wood-fired pizza oven, one end is where the fire is, and then there's a piece of, stone. There we go. Stone-like material. It's a ceramic. And obviously that heats up from the fire, and it was hot. So I put it in the oven, and I slid it towards the back, because whenever you see them on TV, they always slide them in the back. I don't know what I'm doing. Spence, I don't know if I've ever made pizza other than frozen pizza myself. I don't think I ever have. So I slid it in the back, pull it out, slide it, you know, rotate it a bit. I knew that, did that. And I go back out again, and I look, and the pizza's gotten kind of tall. Now, the opening to the pizza oven's maybe 2.5 inches, and the pizza is now hitting the top of the oven. And I put it all the way in the back, because that's what they do in the movies. And next thing I know, I've got, it's burnt. Not real bad. And, you know, a little bit of charcoal pizza is good for you, right? But it was hitting the top of the oven, so I had to... I had to do something, so I took it out and brought it in the house, and it looked good, it smelled good, it ate good, it was good. So, and that was the test run. I learned many things. Stretch the pizza out more, Tom. Don't put it all the way in the back of the oven. If the stone is hot, it's hot. It'll cook anywhere. And that was about it. It worked out well. I let it cool down. I cleaned it up, and it was quite a mess. I mean, to only make one pizza is kind of stupid, because you got everything. You know, you got setup time, you got takedown time, you got to clean everything up. So the next go round will be to embarrass myself in front of my family, my kids, and we will make multiples to see how that comes out. And I'm sure, of my four children and my wife. My wife was not in the room with me while I made the pizza. And a couple of reasons for that. One is if I made a mess, she wasn't watching, because I don't think she wanted to see the mess. I didn't want her to see the mess. All worked out fine. And I didn't make a big mess. I was very neat. Anyway, we got to take a break. It's 8:15. And I don't have to make pizza today because Massimo's there. So that's good. And he'll be open tomorrow, too. And let's see, our phone number, 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. Let's get up and let's do a little bit of the funky chicken right there.
Shake! Everybody say it. Shake! Let me hear the whole crowd. Shake! Everybody say it. Shake!
Okay, we're back. It's 8:18. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. It's me, Tom. Good morning again. Let's see. We got a lot of stuff happened this week, and it's kind of hard to keep track of all of it. I've been, we had some people, we have people looking for RAV4s, and somehow I got three all of a sudden. Not all of a sudden. It's taken a week or so to get them. But I just got notice on my phone that one of the cars, and I've run into this a lot with newer cars. You know, there's a touchscreen radio or touchscreen something. And I seem to run into more touchscreen devices to me seem to be a little more problematic than even a newer electronic style radio that doesn't have a touchscreen. It's got knobs, but it's a more advanced design than, say, 20 years ago. I just got notice. I got the touchscreen coming in for one of the cars. That's good. And replace that. And fortunately, they're easy to replace. Finding them can be a challenge, but I pulled that one off. So on my car, I brought it in for my mechanic to look over last week. I needed an oil change, and I just let him do it because he can burn the oil. And I said, give it a once over. And he found some rust holes. Now, the car was inspected early this year, and there were no rust holes. And the car was undercoated. And so I'm kind of wondering, what's going on here? And I realized on my car's 2007. And a lot of newer cars, there is a plastic pan that goes under the floor. Now, there's plastic in the front underneath the motor on a lot of cars, but that's not what I'm talking about. Underneath the floors, they want to keep it streamlined so air slips by without a lot of turbulence so the car gets better gas mileage. Well, on the Prius, they have a pan that's, I don't know, 3.5 feet long, and it sticks down. It's like a container almost, like a boot tray. You have little sides on it. And it screwed up to the bottom of the floor. Well, those on that particular generation car, which we call second generation, they can fill with dirt, which mine were picking up dirt regularly. And that's the area where it was corroded. And I'm kind of putting two and two together here, kind of doing trying to analyze what had happened. And I think the dirt stays wet most of the time, and even though it may be dry, it might be summertime, if you've got a half inch of dirt in there and it's wet and it's underneath, it's out of the sun, it stays damp. And I think that's what's happened. So first thing I did Sunday was I took those off and put them in the dumpster, and I will undercoat the entire car once I do the repair. It's not big areas, but it's big enough. It's what we call the inner rocker that had corroded a bit. I wanted something to do because I kind of get bored during the week. There's nothing going on. Gosh, it's been like running on ice all week, trying to get cars ready. We run low on cars, and then we scramble to get them done, and trying to keep up, anticipating that there will be continued movement of vehicles, which seems to be the case. So that's good. We appreciate that. I get home yesterday, right? And my wife is, she's got a chair and she's sitting there. She's crocheting. And she says, look, there's a window right adjacent to her. And there's a mourning dove sitting in the window looking at her. She says, "Just and now the bird is not looking in the room. Excuse me. The bird is looking directly at my wife sitting there knitting. And the bird's been doing this. Bird's been there, excuse me, for an hour and a half. And she's told me this happens. And I've kind of seen it, you know, but usually when I come in, because I'm standing up, she's sitting down, you know, not moving around a lot. If I walk in the room, they might fly away. So I sat down right away and am sitting there watching the bird watch my wife. And I don't know if they're writing a book or what's going on, but it's, you know, we do have a lot of birds, especially this time of year, as they're getting ready to head south. And I don't know where they go, but they're not going to be here soon, at least the mourning doves. What else we got? I came across this several weeks ago. I've shared it with some friends. And if you're familiar with Leonardo da Vinci, as some, at least the name rings a bell. You know, he's an artist, he's an architect, he was a builder, an inventor. And you have to look this up. I had seen this multiple times, and I actually copied it onto my computer because I want to try it. If you Google Da Vinci Bridge, Leonardo da Vinci came up with a bridge design that would use, I guess normally would use wood, and no fasteners. And there's been, I've saved that because I love the concept. And somebody had made a carport using the design. I think it was in the Netherlands. And I haven't saved that too. And in my spare time, that's something I want to try. It looks cool. It just looks cool. And you have to look up Da Vinci Bridge to see what it actually is. Has a lot of interesting possibilities. So, I have it on my desktop. It's there if I want to look at it. Yeah, okay, I looked at it. I got to do that sometime. So somewhere I was on the Facebook, which is just the attention deficit place to be. You know, if you have attention deficit, Facebook is certainly the place, maybe not the place for you to be. It is so strange. Because they fine tune things to your brain, apparently. So at some point on the Facebook, I think it was Facebook feed, comes up a Da Vinci bridge that somebody has made out of pallets. It looks scary as hell. It doesn't look like, it looked like it would collapse and kill you. But these people are making these things, and that just adds another flavor to the design that just it taunts me. But it's goofy to see. You have to see it. I haven't tried to see. Maybe I'll try to remember here during the break to see if Da Vinci Bridge and pallets all come together to show the actual. I don't know if it's video or just photos, but it was fascinating to look at. The other thing that was big news this week in terms of other burning wood burning thing, because it is the time of year. I remember about a month ago, I lined the chimney, both flues, and the wood flue in particular got lined and insulated, got a cap on both flues. It looks like something nice. And I lit off the wood stove for the second time. First time, I just did a little test, and it was inconclusive, but it seemed better. So it wasn't a real cold night last week. It was one of those evenings. It was a little bit brisk. And I didn't bring up much stuff, but I got a fire going, and I definitely can see the improvement. Just because, if for no other reason, the chimney is now insulated. So the flue warms up relatively quickly and draws better. And it reminds me of something I saw this week, drive by, an old house with a metal pipe sticking out of the window It's framed over. It's plywood. It's actually plywood. So it passes through the hole where the window would be, through the piece of plywood, and goes up about 4 feet. I'm sure it didn't draw very well, so they put an extra piece on, another 5-6 feet of flexible pipe, which kind of is hanging a little bit to the side. And I'm sure it draws better because it's taller. But this is just like a nightmare scenario in terms of wood burning, in terms of creosote buildup, because the metal pipe is in the ambient air, and creosote is formed. I'm sure they're not, even if they were using an efficient stove, there's going to be stuff that's going to precipitate out on that comparatively cold surface and build up creosote quickly. And then the local fire department's going to come, and hopefully the house won't burn down. But it's highly likely there'll be a chimney fire unless they're taking it apart probably once a week at least to clean the creosote out, because I suspect it's going to build up real quickly. And I guess that's somebody had asked locally online about, you know, how do I get my chimney checked? You call your local fire department, get a chimney sweep in to have the, you know, fire department are not chimney sweeps. They don't maintain chimneys. They just will look and tell you what's going on as best as they can. But this is the time. This is the month. I mean, we're there. We're at that point where we have to do something and be ready. So, you know, a lot of folks have wood stoves. It behooves you to see what's going on. Even if you just look up the flue with a mirror and a flashlight, you're looking for cracks. You're looking for creosote buildup. Beyond that, if you don't know what you're looking at, call somebody. Fire department is an easy one. If they can't do it, they'll tell you. And then you're looking, calling a chimney sweep. And probably both is in your future if you're going to plan on burning wood this winter. Okay, we got to take another break. Speaking of attention deficit disorder.
Well, I love starting the show out with music because I love music. The problem is a lot of songs are way too long. I got ADD. I just don't have the time. You know what I'm talking about? They need to shorten songs. You can do a lot of songs in one verse. You really could. Just consolidate it. Make my life a little bit easier. You guys remember that song, The Gambler, by Kenny Rogers? Remember that song, that old song? I can do the whole Gambler song. Watch this. One verse. Here we go. Hold on. On a warm summer's evening, met a man who played cards well, but he died at the table, and I won all of his money. That's the whole song right there. It's not funny, but true, I know. This song could have been a lot shorter. My son got mad because I worked all the time. He grew up to be a jerk just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon and some other poetic stuff. That's all you need right there. That's pretty much it. We're going to be out of here in 5 minutes, folks.
There's a puppy in our house. There's a puppy in our house. And I bitch and moan and grouse. There's a puppy in our house. But I love her, and she's great. But I love her, and she's great. She just peed inside her crate. But I love her, and she's great. She's an eensy beensy, cutie pootie, sweetie weedy puppy. A yummy wummy, snooky wooky, silly quirky puppy. She's a perky worky, duppy fuppy guppy of a puppy. We got a little puppy in our house.
All right. So at 8:36 on Saturday morning, if you want to get a puppy in your house, I think this is the person to talk to. Good morning, Catherine, over at Bangor, you're
Maine. Good morning. Oh, thank you for having me. I just love that song.
That's a great song.
I listened to the whole thing when you sent it over to me, and it just makes me chuckle every time.
Yeah, me too.
It's so great. I saw a meme this morning that said, you know, it was God showing us a dog, and people went, oh, OMG, yes. And God says, well, it's going to wreck all your favorite stuff and poop in your house. And the humans go, it can sleep in my bed. It's fine.
Yeah.
So I think that is accurate. Yeah, it really made me laugh. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, we have got a lot of dogs. We've got a lot of cats. We've got rabbits and guinea pigs right now.
Oh boy,
we've got a whole zoo over there. So yeah, who do we have? Gosh, I thought that this morning we could talk about our friend Floki. So Floki has been with us for about a year. If you go to BangorHumane.org and click on Adopt and then just take yourself to dog listings, you can see Floki. He is a gorgeous dog. The photos can't really relate his size. He is a pretty massive guy when he stands on his hind legs. He's definitely taller than I am. And he is just, he's a goober. You can see it in the photos.
Yeah.
He's a complete goober. And he is loud. He is a loud dog. He's been with us for about a year.
Oh, boy.
And he came in with absolutely no manners whatsoever, but lots of love to give. And we've just been working with him for the last little while. And he's been ready to go for a bit. The problem is that he can be a little bit kennel reactive, thus the barking and the loudness.
Mm-hmm.
He's not aggressive, but he can be a little off-putting from the other side of a kennel door. So Floki is actually in the back of the house. So if you're interested in meeting with Floki, you do need to ask about him. And the process is always fill out an adoption survey, and then we just take a look at whether or not this looks like a good fit on paper, and then we move forward with meetings. But he's going to need some leash training. But gosh, he really is a sweet boy. And speaking of, you know, all the things that we will put up with from dogs, it will be worth it for a dog like Floki because he's still got so much love to give.
He looks like he's got a lot of personality. All good.
Oh my gosh! Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. He is a silly. And then we've also got Smitty. So Smitty, you can see from the photos on his profile, he is pretty much all white. He's got beautiful blue eyes. He's an absolutely gorgeous dog. He's a young dog. He's super playful. And I'll tell you, he's one of those shelter success stories. He had been in and out of several homes before he came to us. He had been privately rehomed a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'd been put into some situations which really, you know, made his cortisol levels rise, and he was very reticent. He was very hesitant around people. And when he first came in, there was really only one person in the shelter that could successfully interact with him, and it was all from fear. And over the course of just a couple of short months, I think he's been with us now for maybe 4 months,
mm-hmm.
and the change in this dog, he still can be a little bit fearful, but overall, he is friendly and goofy and silly, and he's come so far just by being in a place and with people who are patient and loving and consistent, and that's exactly what he needs in a new home. He may be okay to go home with other dogs. He's going to need dog-to-dog visits before you can determine whether other fur siblings are a good idea for him. We don't know whether he might chase cats, certainly not to hurt them, but he might chase them. So you'll want to make sure if you do have cats that you've got dog-savvy cats. And right now we're suggesting that he just be with older adults, older teens and adults, because the quick movements and noise from kids may be a little off-putting for him. But who knows whether he's going to be able to warm up to a situation where there's kids in the house at some point. So he is an absolutely wonderful guy. And I was so touched. We had somebody come through the shelter the other day who interacted with him a little on the other side of the kennel and said, you can tell that he feels safe here and that he feels like, hey, welcome to my house. Come on in. Make yourself comfortable. And that, I think that speaks volumes for the kind of work that our animal care technicians are doing with all the dogs that we have there. They really are truly loved. And we can tell you all the ins and outs of their personalities and help you find the right fit. So lots of good friends.
Yeah. Well, you know, when a dog or a cat, for that matter, is in the situation of being at a kennel, it ain't like being at home. They've come from God knows where. Sometimes maybe stable environment, and the owner has become infirm and can't take care of it. So all of a sudden, this animal is out of its normal living environment into a strange situation. That takes time just to get stable where you are, and you guys have all the people there to work with them. But there's other dogs barking, there's cats, and you know, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. And the change from going from your place to a nice quiet home or a home with kids or dogs or whatever is a whole other change again. And you, if we just put ourselves in that scenario, it takes a little while to settle in. It just does.
It does. And yeah, it does. We actually have there's a rule of threes, which is that it takes 3 days for a dog to come down off of high alert once they enter your home. Mm-hmm. It takes 3 weeks for them to be used to the routine of your home. So it is important that you establish a routine pretty quickly. Yep. They're regimented creatures. And it takes 3 months for them to feel like they're really a part of your family.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right. Be patient. And yes, we love them so much at the kennel. And we see them and we know them. But it's not the ideal situation. We want them to go into your house and be sleeping like my dog is curled up right next to me on the couch right now. And that's what we want for every single animal that leaves our shelter. But yes, there's a transition period when they come in. The environment is loud and it can be chaotic for as much regimen as we try to provide. And so transitioning out of that into something else also takes some time. So yeah, just bring a patient mindset with you when you're bringing home a dog from a shelter, because they have been through a lot. Even if they started in, like you say, in a stable environment before they arrived at the shelter, it's a lot of transitions. And imagine transitioning a toddler through a lot of that. That's exactly what's happening with a dog. So cats maybe can be a little bit different, but they also need time to transition and come out from under the bed or whatever hidey hole they've found. So yeah, exactly. Just be patient.
Okay. All right. Well, Bangor Humane opens at noontime today, right?
We do. Yep. And I also wanted to let your listeners know, I'm so glad to see that the sunshine is coming out. Mm. Davis Family Farm in Kanduskeag, it's not too far out from Bangor. They just opened this year a new corn maze. They've got a hay maze out there. They've got pumpkin picking. It's going to come up on your right as you're heading away from Bangor. And today, all online sales of their corn maze tickets are going to come back to Bangor Humane Society.
Oh, cool.
They've also got a dog-friendly day happening out there. We'll have one of our volunteers out there answering all kinds of questions and giving out information about the Bangor Humane Society. So please, if you're looking for something to do on what's turning out to be a beautiful fall day, please head out to Davis Family Farm and find some family-friendly fun with your pup.
Yes, I see the sun coming out. Good sun, good day for that. Davis
it
Family
is.
Farm.
Yes.
It's right out Outer Broadway, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Yep, as you're headed away, it'll come up on your right. You will not be able to miss it. They've got food trucks, all sorts of activities. So
wonderful.
Head that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Catherine, thank you. We'll talk to you
thank
folks
you.
Soon.
Yes. Have a wonderful
you
day.
Too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Catherine over at Bangor Humane. Let's see. We have a bunch of text messages that have come in. thank you for that. There you go. There's a picture of the palette Da Vinci structure. That's what that is. Let's see. I'm going in no particular order here. excuse me. Have you heard people in the town of Monmouth have been apparently smoking chemical pot? I have not heard that, but does that surprise me? No. It this is the world we live in. It is a strange place at times, and I'm not quite sure what the actual answer is. But I can say this. This morning, I'm driving through Bangor, Maine at 6:15. I had to go to Home Depot, pick up something. I'm driving through Bangor, and the car in front of me, and I pick up the smell, and there were no skunks around. There wasn't a skunk. There's a difference. I have my nose is big enough. I can tell the difference between a skunk somewhere and weed coming out of a car. Been a lot of dead skunks lately, too, by the way. But it's 6-something in the morning. You're driving, smoking weed. Come on. I don't envy the police trying to sort that one out. Let's see. That's not there. Okay, here we go. People will debate endlessly where they get the best pizza in New York, Chicago, but the top of the list was Naples. Well, yeah, that's where my mother was from. You got that. Got to have the East. That's all you need. Or you go to, Massimo's not Napolitano, but he's Romano. But it's okay. I'll eat it. I'm going to give him the benefit. It seems condensation under a metal roof can be a concern. In other parts of the country, is this something you have seen in the Northeast? Yes and no. The issue is if you build a building, okay, and the example I guess I would use is something like a pole barn. You've got a frame up, you put metal right over the frame, purlins, and the metal is exposed on the backside, in what would be inside the building. You'll get condensation forming there because all the room moisture or building moisture, excuse me, if there is moisture in the building, which conceivably there is, especially in a pole barn, is going to condense on the backside of that roof because the roof is seeing ambient outside temperatures, usually below the dew point this time of year especially, so it's going to drip. Now, when you redo a roof, and most metal roofs, I will say, are retrofit applications, but even on a new roof, normally there's decking underneath the metal roofing. In the case of re-roofing, usually the shingles are left in place, strapping's put down, and the roof goes on top. In that scenario, the roof is not exposed to the kind of moisture that it would have if it was something like a pole barn where there's no sheathing underneath it. So it doesn't seem to be a big issue. And if it is, it's kind of mitigated by the fact that the old roof is there to kind of absorb what little moisture might show up. But I haven't seen it as being a huge issue. Let's go over to the phone and see what's going on. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, good morning, Tom. I've been listening for years. I had a question. Maybe it's easy to answer, but I remember Professor Hill years ago was dismissing, this rig somebody made that had two drums of oil and one spun one way and one spun the other.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to generate heat. And another product that, I don't want to mention because it's still advertised, but Professor Hill made the point that there's only so much BTUs possible out of a kilowatt.
Hmm.
And how's that work with heat exchangers and mini splits and things like that?
Well, a heat exchanger and a mini split is kind of a different animal. I think what you're just mentioning, the two drums, rotating drums, basically generate energy, heat by friction. And a friend of mine, this is going back years ago when Dick and I were doing this together, I was talking to him about it. He says, oh, yeah, we call that the nothing machine. And I told Dick, and he thought that was hilarious because you never get 100% conversion of electrical energy to rotational energy to then heat. It's always going to be less than 100%. So just having a straight electric heater is going to do exactly the same thing, but better because it'll be more or less 100% efficient or very close to 100% efficient. I think what you're alluding to in terms of the heaters is they call them radiant heaters. They have copper tubes inside of them that are heated with a light, a halogen light bulb. And supposedly that's safer. I don't quite buy that. I guess maybe a little safer, but it's not going to be 100% the way a little, you know, the little $20, maybe $30 now electric heater that you would buy at Walmart or Lowe's or the hardware store or whatever, is going to be, from a straight electric conversion point of view, pretty close to 100% efficient. When we're talking about mini splits, it's a little bit different animal, because now we're using the refrigeration cycle to extract heat. We're putting in a unit of electrical energy. We're extracting heat from the outside air through the magic of refrigeration technology and putting out three times what we put in. So the fact that there's a heat exchanger inside, that's in that equation of a three-time advantage. So that gives you that performance bump. So it's not quite the same. Now, having said that, the fan coil, which is basically what's inside the inside part of the mini split, is less than 100% efficient if you're measuring the energy going in and out. But it's, and I've had this question a lot over the years. We used to make heat exchangers for our tanks. Heat exchangers not 100% efficient. So, and kind of going back, when we first would test a new heat exchanger, these were coils normally we put in tanks. We would take the coil and we'd just drop it in the tank and measure the efficiency. And usually just as a mass, it would be like 83%, something like that. What was being in the tank to what we could get out of it. We didn't get 100% efficiency. You never do with a heat exchanger. By configuring it the way we did, we could be in the 90s. But there's always about a 10% loss there. That's in the equation with the mini split. So when you're talking about the 3-to-1 performance factor, that's not something I worry about. And if it doesn't, if that heat exchanger on that mini split or that coil that I would make, I put in a tank, wasn't 100% efficient, it wasn't losing energy. It was just taking a little bit longer to extract the energy from it. So it wasn't hurting us really financially in the equation of what the actual energy costs. I hope I'm making that clear. It sounds a little fuzzy to me, but trust me when I say heat exchangers, if they're not 100%, I mean, if that really high efficiency, you can get over that. So let's say it's 90% efficient. There's 10% isn't really that just can't make it out. It and over time it will. So it will deliver the energy to the room, or in our case, into a hot water line. So I hope that helps. We got to take a break, I guess. I got to look at the Da Vinci picture again. I love. Thank you for sending the image, because that's a nicer looking one than the ones I was looking at, and looks relatively stable. Also looks like it give you a heck of a headache if it broke. But you could look at it yourself online. And we're going to take a break. It is Hot and Cold Saturday morning. Pete will be back with us next hour if he's not busy selling cars. And that's either way, good stuff. Stay with us. We'll be back in a little bit.
On a sunny September day, down in Tennessee where we'd booked a play. Light shone down on her little dance floor. I seen a woman I'd never seen before. Love hit you like a tiny bridge when a bone-made woman starts shaking it. Black hair was piled high. Never seen a girl do it or even try. She buys a bobby pins by the pound just to keep that big head down, yeah. Love hit you like a tiny bridge when a bone-made woman starts shaking it. She took that thing, said, put it on the string.
Put it on the string.
She started dancing around.
Started dancing around.
Moving up and down.
Moving up and down.
Shaking side to side.
Shaking side to side.
Man, she was so fine. Had to beg a bone-made woman to give me back that heart of mine. shamed a woman like from a dream.
Okay, we're back. It's 9:06, hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. We probably hear from Pete in a little while. That'll be good. Let's see. During the break, because I have a computer in front of me and I can't resist, I looked up. There's a whole bunch of people. I didn't even think of looking on YouTube, and you know, sometimes I forget. But there are people who have made Da Vinci Bridges. And a true Da Vinci bridge. There's a nice video of a guy making a bridge with his son. What a great project! I mean, it's just fun project. Couple of 2x4s and some other scrap, some dowels, and you make a bridge. But there's some folks that made an actual bridge going over an actual body of water using the design. So that's intriguing. And I know what I'll be doing tonight. I'll be looking at the I've kind of burnt out on the Roberto Benigni stuff, so I'll look at Da Vinci Bridges, I guess, staying within the Italian vein. Before I forget, I just want to mention our friends at General Appliance on Center Street in Brewer. They are open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. And their phone number, if you're looking for appliance parts or service or maybe some refurbished appliances, the number is 989-4341. Now, here's the thing. People have contacted me during the week, want to know the number. Are you not memorizing this number? I've been saying this number for a long time. I don't mind. If you forget the number, if you're like me and you forget stuff, send me a message. I'll give you the number because I memorized it. I don't have a piece of paper here that says General Appliance, Saturday morning, 989-4341. It is in my head. There's not a lot in my head, but I've got that. General Appliance, 989-4341. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, it's that easy. As I mentioned, my buddy Massimo, he's open now. You go to get the pizza. You got these, he's probably got cookies and croissants. He's makes the breakfast croissants. And you can get a sandwich to take for later while you're at it. Well, let's see. I had a question about using a fan for better draft. They do make fans for that sit on the top of the chimney for inducing better draft for wood stoves. And I was thinking about it before I realized that it wasn't the my chimney's not real tall. From the wood stove to the top of the chimney, 11 feet, I think, is not high. So it doesn't get an incredible draft draw. It works much better now with the insulated liner. I was looking at a chimney top induced draft fan, which I think is around $500-$600. Not a cheap date. And the mechanical thing, it's going to wear out. You got creosote up there. None of that is a positive. So by relining the chimney, we were able to get around that issue. There are also in line, like in a stovepipe type of thing. Again, kind of the same issue here. In terms of getting plugged up with stuff and being a maintenance issue that is extra beyond typical wood stove stuff. Now, having said that, when I was working on wood boilers and pellet boilers, I had an induced draft fan that I was using, and I'm trying to... Okay, so what I had done in my case was I had modified a gas appliance induced draft fan, which is a big no-no, but I was taking these things apart not daily, but maybe weekly for whatever reason, because we were working on different things. And so I was able to inspect. They were always quite clean, actually, but that's not typical. And it's really a challenge to maintain that kind of device properly, I think, for what it's worth. Now, a pellet stove has an induced draft fan, and that stays relatively clean, but pellets burn differently. Pellets, you get a very clean burn, and that was one of the things I was interested in. And as I messed around with stick wood, you know, you get a very unhomogeneous fuel. It could be moisture content, could be high, it could be low, it could be big stick, small stick, beginning of fire, end of fire. There's nothing stable about a burning stick wood. And it amazes me that it works as well as it does with the newer with the new stoves in particular. You can get a very clean burn. But it's not a linear thing that it doesn't change. Now, pellets, also, there would be startup and cycle, but it is much easier fuel to combust because it's essentially oven dry. It's a same size fuel for the most part. Sometimes there might be a little bit of difference, but the carburation, the amount of air can be tweaked within the unit, but it just is a much easier fuel to burn and get a clean burn out of, which is why pellet stoves are so desirable, which is why you can direct vent them, because you don't have a flue issue the way you would with stick wood. And that helps. Oh, let's see. What else we got? So I have set up the over at my house, having changed out the boiler and changed a whole bunch of stuff. I've officially started the heating season with the thermostat hooked up. My wife can turn up the heat if she's cold. She can turn it down if it's hot. And the only thing I have is I have a problem with thermostats that I have four convectors in my house. A convector is kind of like that unit we were discussing earlier that would be on a heat pump on a mini split. It's got a little fan coil in it. Instead of circulating refrigerant through it, it's got, in my case, antifreeze. It can be used with either chilled water or heated water, so you can actually use it for cooling, which is why I put it in, because I do have a heat pump that isn't working. But that's another story for another day. It's an air-to-water heat pump. Long story. Won't go there now. But the basic units are nice. They do function right now whenever the room thermostat, the main thermostat comes on, heats radiant panels, heats these four convectors. The convectors have fans in them, just like the mini splits do. Fans are not on, but it still, air moves through it. It heats a little bit. Each one of these units, if they're turned on, which they're not right now, can be set up for either heating or cooling. Fan speed can go up or down, get a lot of heat in the room quickly, and they're thermostatically controlled, which is all wonderful, except the thermostats are kind of wonky. And by that, what I mean, if it's at the threat, let's say it's set at 70, and the room temperature is 69.5. It'll click on, the unit heats up, the fan is on, and it gets up to 70, or it usually goes a little, maybe goes 71 to shut off. When it shuts off, it starts to cool down a little bit quickly, it seems, and for some reason it clicks on and off and on and off. And it does it on the beginning of the cycle and the end of the cycle, and it drives me crazy. Now, it's not a big deal if it clicks on and off, except if it's clicking on and off, the oil burner can click on and off. So it might come on for 10 seconds and shut off, and it's got the oil burner going on and off and on and off. And no, we're not doing that. That's not right. So I've got all the controls together, and well, the lights just dimmed in here. That was interesting. I assume we're still on the air. Okay, we're still on the air. Okay. But I'm gonna put a time delay on it. So once it clicks on, even if it starts to click off again, the heat will stay on for 5 minutes or something. So we don't have to deal with the shoe. We'll still hear it clicking. You can hear the things clicking, but I can live with that. I can't live with the oil burner clicking on and off every 10 seconds. That drives me crazy, as you might imagine it would. It doesn't take much. I'm on the edge. Speaking of the edge, we got to take a break. It is 9:15. It is Hot and Cold. Pete will be with us hopefully shortly, and we'll be back. It's 9:19, hot and cold Saturday morning. And let's see, turn that down. This is a song called New York Chimes. This is not the original. Sounds like he's got two banjos going there. And my friend Dick down in Connecticut has offered to teach me that song. And I'm going to take him up on that at some point. And we're going to do it over the FaceTime. And that'll be something. That used to be the theme song. New York Chimes was the theme song for the original Hot and Cold TV show. The first shows we did, I asked Tony if I could use his song. I said, if I ever make it big, we're on network TV, we'll pay you. I save money there, that's for sure. Hey, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text is 601-207-4478. You know, in this vein of wood stoves, talking about wood stoves, this is the season. And certainly, if you cut your own firewood or you're having trees taken down and you can get the tree people to leave the wood for you, it kind of is free. Obviously, there's sweat equity or you're paying to have somebody do that work. But if you're cutting a tree down, getting it's just a gratis if it's your tree is getting cut. I don't quite understand why we don't have a program in the state of Maine for people to upgrade their wood stoves. There's a lot of advance that's been done in the design of wood stoves where they burn much cleaner. I'll tell you from experience, Dick Hill did not like the newer advanced wood stoves, but he liked to tinker. And he would mess with it endlessly, as opposed to a newer wood stove. It doesn't allow you as much flexibility as, say, an old stove that was drafty. But the newer stoves do burn much cleaner, much more efficient use of the fuel. And I think whether it was a pellet stove or a wood stove, I think we should be offering that, especially in the somebody just said the new stoves suck. I'm going to disagree. I think they do a good job. They're not the same. They're definitely not the same animal. That's one of the reasons Dick didn't like them. You don't have the control that you had before, but they do burn clean. You got to give them that. I don't quite get why we, certainly I understand the concept of using heat pumps, and certainly we need the cooling aspect, unfortunately, in the modern climate we're living in. But why don't we have something similar for wood and pellet stoves, especially in our state? I understand New Jersey or something, and even in New Jersey, I mean, I think firewood would still be a commodity. But, in that scenario, we're closer suburban areas, wood smoke can be an issue. It could be an issue up here, but it's going to be a lot less of an issue if you're using a cleaner burning device. And I had a question here, I'm not sure I know the answer. Is there a well-seasoned firewood that produces more creosote than others? I'm not sure. The the thing is, I have a relatively new Hearthstone wood stove, and it's got a damper on it. And if you're trying to stretch out the fire, you know, make it burn longer and slower, I think when you start messing with the damper is when you start to get into mischief with potentially building up some creosote. I'm going to say, and I was going to say softwoods, but I don't think that's true because softwoods tend to burn faster than hardwoods. So I don't have a good answer for you. Generally, I guess you're going to get the well-seasoned part of it, I think, kind of gets around the issue. It may not – wood is different densities. Hardwood is different densities. Softwood is different densities too. But generally speaking, if they're all dry, some will burn longer than others depending on the density. But I don't think – and somebody wants to correct me on this, feel free because I don't have a definitive answer – but I haven't seen that. You know, the woods that tend to burn better are the naturally drier woods. And one that comes to mind is ash. And years ago, I lived in Bangor. I had this old, this was 1979, 1980, something like that. I bought a house that was a beautiful old house, had turrets on the roof. It was just cool. And it was a barn. And I had somebody do the walls with fiberglass insulation, and I guess I had them cap the attic too, and it still was a barn. It was drafty as all get out, and I kind of cut my teeth on that house figuring out how to properly insulate, but the and I had decided I was going to build a wood chip burner, and Norm Smith, who was protege of Dick's, who's the agricultural engineering professor, was making wood chip burners at the time. This is pre-wood pellets, which is showing some of my age, I guess. And I called Norm up. I said, I'd like to build one. He says, you can't build one. You'll burn your house down. Well, you know, don't tell me I can't because I'm going to do it, man. And I did. I built a boiler. I had an auger to feed the pellets. I had worked in a sawmill, so I kind of had a some millwright experience and built the thing. And finally got to the point, I said, you know, I'm just going to use it as a wood burner. And I modified it to burn, set up a little bit more like a hill boiler. And I wound up burning scrap wood from PV Manufacturing in East Eddington. And at that time, you could go to PV with your pickup truck on, I'm going to say, Thursday mornings. And I would be in line at 5 a.m., and there would be a line already, and you could fill up your pickup for, it was either $3 or $5. And that would get me through the week. And that stuff wasn't, it was air-dried wood. It was not kiln-dried wood, I believe. I might be mistaken, but a lot of it was ash. And it was small ash. It was like dowels, you know, little dowel cutoffs, maybe anywhere from an inch to 6 inches long. And I want to tell you, that burned slick as a smell. It just was the best fuel in the world. And I think they probably still sell there. And I came across somebody on Facebook who's selling 1,400-pound bags of dowels that I can see ash dowels in for, I think it's about... They're saying it's 3/4 of a quart. I'm not sure it is, but it's $300, $200, I think. And I just want to go get it. But I can't do that. I'm not going to do it. All right. Well, you know, there comes a time when you certain songs that just hit you right. And this hits this guy right.
We're busy doing nothing, working the whole day through, trying to find lots of things not to do. We're busy going nowhere, isn't it just a crime? We'd like to be unhappy, but we never do have the time.
And there's only one person who can live up to this song, and that would be Pete. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
I played your song for you. You happy?
I appreciate that. Okay. I think that's a good one for me.
That is a good one. I got one for next week too, in that same vein. Same artist.
Oh, good. That's fine.
Yeah. So, how are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good. Are you all wound up about anything today? And no politics, please.
Oh,
no politics.
I was just about to say I had a new policy I was going to enact, but I guess not.
Angus King said he's coming over to have a word with you. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll try to. I'll get a lift put in so he can get in the office.
Okay.
So I did have one idea.
Yeah.
This is in the same vein of my state hospitals and the no tax for Mainers, and we're going to tax the tourists and all that stuff. This is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ban third-party debt collection.
Okay, that is a good one.
If somebody owes you money, that's fine. They owe you money. You don't get to sell that debt to somebody else, and then that person gets to chase you for it. If you owe, let's say, a hospital money, then the hospital can hire a third-party debt collector to represent them in the collection of the debt, but they can't just transfer the debt off.
I like that.
If you want to write it off, you can write it off to get rid of it, and then maybe file for a. You can file as a business. You can file for a tax break because you lost that money, but you will write it off as a loss. It's not going to somebody else who then starts coming after you for it. Because I had an issue a few years ago where I had a hospital bill, and I paid it. And then I had the exact same visit again, and the bill was higher. And I said, why was the bill higher? They said, oh, we didn't bill you properly the first time. I was like, oh. Well, I was a little bit irritated, but I'm like, okay. And I was getting ready to pay the new one. It's like, you have to pay us more for the first one. Like, hold on there, professor. That transaction's done. You said pay on receipt. I paid on receipt. That's your mistake, not mine. So I said, well, I'm not paying the new one because I know what you're going to do. You're going to apply it to the old one first. And then you're going to be after me for the new one, which is a legit bill. So we went back and forth like that for a little while, and then they sent it to collections, and then I talked to collections, and the lady I spoke to at collections agreed with me. She's like, how did they do that? I'm like, I don't know. And then eventually the collections agency, by default, put it on my credit score, and then I had to pay it off to get it off my credit score. So, and I didn't like that whole thing one bit. If somebody's going to put it on my credit score, it's going to be the company that I owe the money to. Well, I don't like this third part. You know, there's no oversight. I just have to pay it because somebody else is going to tank my score.
And I can tell you, this is a huge industry. It's a huge industry in the United States of
not,
buying
not
debt.
Not in the state of Maine. Not for much longer.
Not for much longer with Governor Pete. But it is an industry that is nefarious. Now, if you owe money and you don't pay it, that's one thing. What happens is.
I was ready to pay. I wasn't going to pay extra on that mistake earlier. Look, it was plenty of money that first bill. So
yeah,
they weren't starving.
We're not talking, and I can tell you because I remember the numbers vaguely. This is not a gigantic. This didn't have many zeros on it. This was not a huge bill.
It was a difference of $63.
And there's the principal.
Well, that's why when it hit my credit score, I was like, screw it, I'll just pay it. But
yeah.
The point is, they were just bilking me for $60 because they just arbitrarily decided that we arbitrarily charged not enough.
Well, I tell you what, I'll do a true confession when we come back. We got to take a break so we don't get too far behind here. So I will share with you my story, which were bigger numbers than Pete's, but no less important. It is hot and cold, though. It is Saturday morning. Pete is with us. Oh, my goodness. That's the good thing. We'll be back in a bit.
All right.
Back. It's 9:37. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Pete is over there on line three, the governor's line. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
So I'm going to tell this story in a very abbreviated version, but years ago, I had a business loan with a company. I want to say it was out of New York, and they were a good company. And things were slow, and I couldn't make a payment. So I contacted them and spoke to somebody, and we kind of did a remediation thing, you know, and I don't remember the particular. It wasn't a tremendous amount of money. It was a very small amount of money, but I still owed. I don't remember the payment schedule or even the number, but doesn't matter. And I was making these payments less than what the agreed to number was. And I think it might have been a month or so. And I called the guy up, and we had a rapport. I mean, you know, he knew I wasn't trying to BS him. I'm not trying to shrug off a debt that I owe. And he says, debt's been written off. So what does that mean?
Well, written off, yeah.
He says, you don't have to pay it. We will not accept your money now. I said, well, how do I pay it off? He says, I don't know. So fast forward a little bit here now. You know, I'm like, well, this doesn't feel right, but okay. I get a phone call, and it's from a collection agency who has bought the debt. So once, and now they want to amplify the number because this is what they do. So I got online and looked up the collection agency, and anyway, I'm going to fast forward. I'm going to give you some advice if you're in this scenario where you're dealing. Now, the debt collection agencies that are not the original lender usually buy a debt that's been written off for pennies on the dollar. So in theory, you can pay less than what you owed, but it's not to the original lender. And Pete's right. They're not going to do it out of the gate. But here's the thing I learned from that whole experience. And I didn't want to, at this point, I didn't want to give my money to some scumbag debt collector as opposed to the person who was nice enough to loan me the money but had a built-in company rule, I guess you'd call it, that, you know, it was gone. That money was never going to find its way back there. And that's this. Okay, first they need to document to me they own the debt because in theory they might not. Here's the big one, though. They like to call you up and pester you. You say, okay, from now on, we only communicate in writing. They don't like that because they don't make – somebody's got to actually crank out a letter to communicate with you. And they want to call you on the phone and badger you and just beat you up.
Good faith payment. That's the big one they like.
What's that?
Good faith payment.
Good faith payment on the same day, same time while we're talking. And
in my case, I refused to make one because I was still, I'm like, no, I dispute the validity of the debt, so I'm not going to give you anything.
Yeah. Now, that
actually, to clarify,
I will say, you can get a blemish on your credit report, and I think I probably did. I don't recall that I did because we were kind of in negotiation, but it never went anywhere. And did I feel good about that? I didn't because the original lender was out some money. It wasn't a lot. I did the numbers and
I'm sure they write it off.
They did okay by me, but it wasn't what we agreed to. And I didn't feel good about it. I still don't to this day, but you know, what are you going to do? I don't remember the numbers. They don't. It was a long time ago. but
to clarify, regarding mine, as far as paying it off when it hit my credit score, I guard my score right now because I am loosely in the market for a house, you know, but there's not anything on the market at the moment because interest rates are so high. But that's why I'm protecting it. Now, if I already owned a piece of property and they sent it to my credit, they hit my credit score with it, I would die on that $63 hill. I'd be like, you can tank my entire score. I'm not paying that $63.
Yep.
Because
yep.
I am that stubborn.
Yep.
But I can't do that right now. I need that score.
Yep.
All the mortgage lenders are like, oh, no, you don't.
Yeah, yeah. And I am the same way. I don't have that need. But I don't have that issue either. I mean, I want to pay people ahead of time and make sure the debt's taken care of. I'm not in that position I was many years ago when things were really challenging financially, when we had a lot more commitments with kids and stuff. But it was a rough time. And that's and you really hit a nerve here for me, Pete, in that this is something that shouldn't happen. And the state can regulate it. The state can absolutely regulate it.
I'm not saying that if you owe money to the listeners, I'm not saying you don't owe it anymore. I'm saying
right. It's
not going to some third party. You're gonna have
right. To
if you have a hospital bill, you're gonna straighten it out with them. If you have a credit card bill, you're gonna straighten
yep.
out with them. Car
yep.
payment, whatever.
Agreed.
House payment.
You have to live
but
up to your
not,
commitment.
Somebody's not gonna give me a debt and then write it off to somebody else and then I'm chasing them and my credit score is tanked.
Yeah. You know? Professional reptiles is what they are.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, under my administration, that we won't be having that sort of foolishness.
There you go.
State of Maine. They want to operate, they can operate in New Hampshire. Have a good time.
But they
are coming after my Mainers.
Pete, can you please extend your new law to eliminate the endless advertising for third-party remediation of IRS debt? I don't know.
You can get Hulu without ads. Well, you'll have enough extra money once I'm governor that you can get Hulu without ads.
All right. So I think this is from my buddy Dick down in Norwich. It is. New York Chimes, A part, played twice, DDGGDEAA, DDGGDADD. Dick, I'm not going to remember this. You know, I can't, and I don't have a printer in the studio. You're going to have to send that to me later. We're going to have to do it. You don't understand. My learning process is a little bit slower. I will try it, though. And thank you for listening, and thank you for sending. Oh, God. You don't know who's listening on the radio. That's the thing. Could be a banjo player.
Could be somebody who has a better chance at winning office in the state of Maine and says, I need an idea, man.
That's right. That's right.
You know, somebody running for office might be like, you know what I need? I need somebody with ideas like Pete's.
That's right.
Well, I guess what? I'm Pete, and I got those ideas.
If they're listening right now, what do we got?
Can you give me an office and a business card?
Election day.
A plate for my car?
Right after election day, call Pete. He was available.
I'm available. I got time.
Okay. So in the meantime, tell me.
I'm the mascot.
Meantime, Pete, hey, tell me about cars. I don't know.
Oh, we got cars back out again. You know what we've got that I like? We've got two 2016s side by side. There's a black 2016 and a white 2016.
Yeah.
One with 130-something on it, one with 121 on it.
Yeah.
Same ballpark price-wise. That's like a him and her set right there.
That's right. Ebony and ivory.
Yeah. And then... what else do we got out? We got two Prius Cs.
Yeah.
Everybody's always looking for Cs. One of them is orange.
Yeah.
And the other one is silver.
Yeah, the orange one. So here's the thing. Okay.
I don't mind if people like orange. You can have an orange car. I don't mind that at all. I like the color orange. It's just as the person trying to sell the car, orange immediately limits the base pretty quickly for me.
I think here's the deal. What is today? October 12th. We got 2.5 weeks to Halloween. We got a black car. We got an orange car for Halloween, a set husband and wife celebrate the season. Or boy and girl, boy and boy, doesn't matter. Celebrate the season. Get your color matched seasonal cars. No? I think that's a good idea.
Halloween is Priuses in orange and black. The Prius C actually, and the two Prius Cs, the orange one and the silver one, they're both lower miles too.
Yeah. Yep.
But let's say you're looking for cheaper. You're looking for something a little bit cheaper. I got a blue 2010. It's function above form. Doesn't look magnificent, but it runs excellent. It was well maintained. That's cheap. I think that's like $59.95 or something like that. 200,000 miles. Had a bunch of stuff done to it. It's inspected. It's ready to go. You know, if you're just looking at it this way, let's say you've got a $50,000 truck and you love it, and I bet you you do. I bet you it rides real nice. I bet you it's comfortable, but it's also about 12 miles per gallon. Maybe when you're just going to Hanford, you would just want something to buzz around in.
Yeah.
There's your car right there.
You want a don't car put, that you can hit a shopping cart with. You can hit a shopping cart with it and not care think twice about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And we got more stuff coming. We're actually too busy. And just getting stuff ready.
I mean, going on.
This has been a struggle all week just to get these cars out. Getting them cleaned and get, you know, waiting on parts. I see I've got parts coming in today for cars, which is good because trying to get these suckers done as quickly as possible. So, all right, now what do we do? We've done the car thing.
What should we talk about now? I got you all wound up about that collection.
Yeah.
You got me all wound up about orange cars, which, again, I'm not judging people that like an orange car. I'm just saying, again, it's like, you know, if I take 100 people, all of them would be okay with a silver car. Yeah, maybe, you know, 50 of them would be okay with an orange car, you know.
That's okay. Well, you don't know that. You haven't done a statistical analysis to see.
I haven't done the Family Feud survey.
Yeah. Okay, so now Dick has messaged me, the New York Times. Dick, do you not want to see me on FaceTime? Is that what you're telling me? I've got the cords on my Snoopy watch here right now. So, all right, I will try it, and then I'm going to have to call you. So, I didn't tell the story about Maria. Last Saturday after the radio show, I went up to my daughter's house. She had completely disassembled a stacked washer dryer, you know, all in one unit, so we could get it out of the house. And we had it out in about 5 minutes. She had it down to nothing. And Monday, we...
She's like a Native American with the buffaloes.
Yeah. So Monday, it was trying to find a machine that we could get, or a machine set we could get in a timely fashion. And we wound up at Lowe's in Brewer to see my buddy Gary, who lives in Stockton Springs. I called in the morning and they said he wasn't there. We walked in. I got online to order it, and I had it ordered, and I hit the button, and honestly, I hit the place order button and the whole page disappeared. It just went blank. It said nothing in your cart. I thought, well, did I just buy it? Usually it's a confirmation. No confirmation email. I had to go back and check to see if it, you know, had, if any money had moved, and none had. And at that point, this was Monday, I said, I actually said something stronger than, God, by golly, the heck with this. And we went up to the...
You say a bad word.
I think there were multiples. And we hopped in the car. So we're going to Brewer. And lo and behold, there's Gary. Had come in late. I guess he was the afternoon shift. And... got it squared away. And the reason I went with Lowe's is because they were going to deliver it. This is Monday. They delivered it on Wednesday. Nobody else could do that. I mean, everybody else, the local guys, were out a couple of weeks, and we needed a washer now. So it's a stackable, and everything is I've got to go put the stackable hardware between the washer and dryer, and then we'll plug in the dryer and that'll go, but the washer is up and running. And I have an LG at my house, and I like it. I guess I'm not allowed to touch it, actually. So my wife knows something that I don't know. But I was slightly uncomfortable with the concept of an imported appliance. And so I got looking online to see what appliances were made in this country. So GE, Whirlpool, Amana, Maytag, all made in the U.S. Some LGs are made in the U.S., but how do I know which ones? And I wanted something that didn't have crazy electronics. I'm not sure that I succeeded on that end. We wound up getting two GE appliances, but at least they're made in this country, so we did that right. And they look good. Maria is impressed with how little water her washer uses, as we are with the LG washer we have. They don't use a lot of water, but here's the front loader. We have a top loader. Not sure why we got a top loader versus a front loader, but it is what it is. There was a moment in time. I think, yeah, your mother had a say in that. Like I said, I'm not allowed to.
My mother was right.
I'm not allowed to touch the washer or the dryer, which is, you know what it is. She reads the manual. I just start hitting buttons. That's not necessarily
the rest of these trees cut down.
Maybe we're not.
Nothing. I there's just something so satisfying about trees being cut down.
Okay. All right. Well, you got the chainsaw. Go out there.
No, these ones are professionals.
Yeah. We got electric wires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the guy who we had do all our work is retiring.
That's fine. There's other people.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to find somebody else. Well, actually, we got folks on the radio station here. We'll have to contact them.
Perfect.
All right.
Nepotism.
Okay, so a message here. Wait until your clothes come out all wrinkled beyond repair. You'll be missing the water you used. I haven't had that happen yet, but I'll watch for it. A few weeks ago, you mentioned there were a couple of VW shops around. Could you name them, please? Well, the one is in Belfast, right on Route 1. It's called Pottles, Pottles. And it originally was Alan Pottle who had it, and now his son Ian runs it. That's the one that comes to mind.
If you're headed south on Route 1, that one will be on your right-hand side. You'll know it because it has all the Volkswagens in front.
We were talking about, I think, a diesel thing, my friend Nat sent me a message last Saturday about the place, and it was after the show was over, which was very helpful, Nat, and I didn't save it. So so we're still up the creek on that one. Yeah, I don't have it here. Well, let me just check the email real quick. You just sit there, Pete. You can sing a song or something.
This is good, yeah.
It's good radio. I can't.
I got some other ideas, but they're a little bit more controversial, so I'm not bringing them up until I'm in office.
Oh.
But let's just say the old state-run loony bins are coming back.
Okay.
I'll go into more detail
boy.
God.
Okay.
Hey, everything comes with a price, right?
Yeah, okay, Pete. All right, so it's not there. Nat's probably listening. He's going to send me the email again. It was somewhere down mid-coast area. And I got another message here. I've been through 3 front-load washers in 10 years. Back to the top loader. Hopefully it will be better.
Yeah.
Well, the thing we had, you know, we did have front-load washers, and the thing we did not like was the smell. The gaskets would kind of hold water and get real stinky. So the one we got, the GE, has a microban, which is kills the smell. So we'll see how that works. And they also have drying cycles that they have in these things now. So maybe all that'll work. Maybe not. I'm not sure. We're going to find out. I will report back. That's what I'll do.
They say if you run the front loaders, if you run bleach through them every once in a while, that does it. But I'm always nervous doing that because then I got to run. I feel like I run it a second time after that because I don't want bleach in the washing machine.
Well, it's 2024. We shouldn't have to do stuff like that. When new front loaders came out, the first one that came out was Maytag. And we did a thing with Dunnett's and we got a set of the Maytag washer and dryer. And it was a great machine, saved me tons of water. Because I was in Bangor paying a big water bill, water sewer bill, and at some point it started to really stink, and that was over 20 years ago, and they maybe have solved it now. I hope they have. I think we've solved it because we're out of time, Pete.
They should have AI fix it.
You just got my vote on that one. AI's going to solve all our problems.
AI will fix the washing machine.
That's right. We'll see you next week, Pete. Thank you.
Right,
have a great weekend, everybody.
T rubbles more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine.